Title of our message today is Life with the King. If you've got a Bible, please turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, Life with the King. Last week was Easter, and we celebrated Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, which is the introduction or the invitation into the kingdom of God. Jesus made a way for us to have life with God. Jesus died and rose again, and then at the right hand of the Father, after his resurrection, he goes and sits at the right hand of the Father, always to intercede on our behalf. Now, Greg, what does that mean, and what's it got to do with life with the King? Well, Jesus is the King. And part of what Jesus is doing right now for you, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father in the very courtroom of Almighty God. And we know from the book of Job that the liar and deceiver, which we call Satan, gets to come in the courtroom and regularly accuse the brethren, which is another one of his names. So Satan comes into the courtroom to accuse the brethren. The case is made against you or me, something we've done, something we might be completely guilty of. And all of the evidence is weighed, and the sides of the courtroom, not necessarily one jury, but two juries, of those who are holy and those who are not, listening to everything that happens in the courtroom. The case is made against you or I that we are completely guilty and without hope in the world, except for Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and for those that he has applied his blood to pay for their sin. Jesus rises up and says, if it pleases the court and the Most High God, that one belongs to me. And so all the things brought up about you and about me that should be fully condemning and fit us only for hell, Jesus, it says, continually intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father, that he is always doing that work on your behalf. Now, maybe you could, at this point, come up with a few things he's had to stand up on your account. A few times when you remember, at least in this moment, where you can say, yep, I know when Jesus had to speak up for me. I remember that. But what I want to share with you this morning is that because of what Jesus does, has done for you, and somehow outside of time takes care of all things that have happened and will happen in our life, we are invited into something more. We are not just invited into this place where we continually mess up and he continually fixes it. That is definitely part of the benefits package, if you will. But he has invited us into something so much more. So that, as I shared last week on Easter Sunday, that we do find our need and see Jesus has paid the price and put our faith in him and walk through our stuff. There's something on the other side of that journey of faith, trusting Christ as Savior, that is life with the King. And life with the King is moving forward with him. Life with the King is not constantly looking back on all that I was. It's looking forward in hope on what he can make me into. He can do something amazing with us. Now, I brought this up again this Sunday because all week I've been struggling a little bit with that little sermonette that you got last week. That someone might have heard that, and even if you didn't, it's still going to apply, and think to themselves, that is wonderful news, Greg. That means I never need to worry about what I have done wrong or what I might do wrong. I can do whatever I want, and Jesus has got me covered. I want to be careful with that teaching because Paul said all things are permissible to the believer. I mean, you can. You can go on and do whatever you want. But he also said not everything is beneficial. It's not all expedient. Has Jesus paid it all? Yes. Does every decision you make end in good things? No, it doesn't. And so to say, well, I'm saved, I can do whatever I want, it's got some truth to it, but it's also got an element of, how are we going to put this, a lack of wisdom? Well, he's already paid for it, so I'm just going to keep doing the same thing wrong over and over again. It might take you a while. Some of us are a little more hard-headed than others, like this guy right here. But eventually you figure out that doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, yeah, that doesn't work. And eventually God begins to reveal to us, you know that thing you've been doing over and over again? I got it paid for. But child, I made you for so much more than that. Now come on up here and I want to show you what more I got for you. It's that process that is life with the King, where He absolutely does love you enough to live in the moment of whatever it is you're going through. Yes, absolutely, He loves you enough to do that. But then He has this way about Him that does not feel condescending or condemning, and yet you know you're being led. It's kind of like when you watch the evening news. You know you're being led somewhere and you're not sure it's good. Well, with Jesus, you are being led. He loves you enough to lead you, but He's going to lead you somewhere very good. Now, one of the ways He's going to do that, we're going to see today in Matthew chapter 18, is through the children. You say, Greg, that seems terribly bad to use children, which is how it could come across, right? Or it could be amazingly good to say, you see that little one down there having a good time? I really enjoy it when he's doing that. You see that little sister twirling around over there, demanding that everybody give her the attention in the room? Well, that's something, isn't it? We can also look at that from another perspective, can't we? You see that little boy down there playing? He always makes a mess of things, doesn't he? The only one who can love him is his mama. Look at that little girl twirling around. I bet she's spoiled rotten. She demands that everybody gives her attention. Have you seen, heard, or God help us, thought on both sides of that discussion? We have, haven't we? By the grace of God, I might be a grandparent soon. I see other people, their grandkids, and think, man, they must really love them kids. They're spoiled brats. But mine are going to be perfect, I'm pretty sure. We do land on both sides of that, don't we? Jesus knew that. And I believe that's why He takes the illustration of children to teach us a thing or two. Because we've all got some interaction there. We might like them, we might not like them. We might think ours are perfect and everybody else's stink. We might imagine that we're the only people on the planet know how to raise kids and all these dumb people need some parenting lessons. Wherever you land on the subject, it'll probably hit home. Matthew chapter 18. Let's pick up that first verse there, Philip. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This discussion starts out with Jesus' followers saying, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We want to know, what do we need to do to excel, to climb the ladder, to be the best in this group of guys here, these followers? I mean, we want to be the top of the heap. That's their question. And so Jesus, beginning to answer that, life with the King, they want to live with Him. That's a genuine desire. There's nothing wrong with that. They want to be as close to Him as they can be. Also, not bad. You see, we got this same perspective thing. We can look at these disciples and say, wow, they really did want to be close to Jesus. They wanted to be greatest in the kingdom. We can also look on the other side and say, wow, all you can think about yourself. I can't believe that you can't. You know, I mean, there's both ways to look at this. And I'm not saying that y'all have got, you know, emotional issues, but you most likely do. And so you get on one side of this issue and you see something. Okay, Jesus says, you know what? Let's roll with that. You want to be greatest in the kingdom. Are your motives pure? They might not be. Is your desire in the right place? Most likely not. But you are desiring after something that's good. Because they want to know who's going to be greatest where. It's in verse 1. Who will be greatest in the kingdom of God? Okay, that's good. However they got there, whatever their motives are, whether they happen to be Peter or Judas Iscariot, right now they're all desiring for what is good. Agreed? Okay. Let's take that, Jesus says, and learn a thing or two. Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of all of the men and this discussion, and said, "Assuredly I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." This is great news if you are, like I am, an adult male with the mind of an 8-year-old. This is awesome. If your mind still skips, we're in great company right here, right? Dave, I've shared some jokes with Dave. You know, I mean, we got some guys. You know, we're going to be in Goshen with Mike Garner. Mike, you cut Mike loose at the men's event. It's like watching a little, you know, stick of dynamite run around and cause trouble everywhere. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. And you get a lot of guys at an event, and that's kind of how they operate. You cut them loose, and it's like a huge playground, and they have a great time. Nothing wrong with that. I don't think that's quite what Jesus is after here. But it's nothing wrong with a guy continuing to be in touch with his ability to have fun. That's a good thing. And maybe that is some of what Jesus is talking about. Let's dig a little bit and make sure we don't miss. I say, unless you are converted. So we've got some kind of transformation that has to happen here. Our adulthood, who we are and how we have learned to survive in this world, has to be changed. Would you agree? I mean, converted. Some might say, well, no, all we need here is we need salvation. But salvation for an adult is very much like that. You as an adult have learned how to live your life and you know how to keep it together or wreck it, you know, whatever you are. And you come to a place where you realize that your adult decisions have not led you in the place where you need to be. And you need somebody to help you with that. As a matter of fact, you are so aware of your sin that you need somebody to completely change you. And so you humble yourself and bow to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you, forgive you of your sin, and begin to change you, transform you. And you, in a sense, become like that humble child saying, "I need salvation." That's a good way to look at the word converted. That's not bad. But Jesus is already talking to guys who have believed that He is the King, right? So these people have already put their faith in Jesus as much as they could at this time. And so He's looking at them and saying, as adults, you're desiring after this. As your leader, I'm telling you to go for that. That you have in your mind, you already know how everything works. He said, I need you to lay that down. Not throw it away, not quit your job, not quit your marriage. No, that's not what He means. To come to Him and be prepared for Him to unplug and reposition anything in your heart. And the place where we would say, no, God, you can't have that, is the very thing that would hang us up from life with the King. Unless you are converted and become as little children. Okay, once again, do we have to be unwise? Do we have to be, you know, not take care of ourselves and take care of others? No, I don't think that's what he's after. And the reason I don't think that is because of what we have on the screen in verse 4. If you do not become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, and so when he uses the therefore, he's explaining to us, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, Lewis helped us with the idea of humility. He said, humility is not someone who thinks less of themselves. Humility is not somebody that thinks less of themselves. It is someone who thinks of themselves less. I'm not thinking about everything for me. I'm thinking about how can this bless others? Thinking about how can this benefit? About how, Lord, would you take my life and let my life be a blessing somewhere else? I remember going on a mission trip one time and I had a bag of granola bars. And I was determined that I wanted to share the granola bars with these kids. But if you've been overseas on a mission trip and you hold out anything that looks anything close to sugary food, you know you get attacked. It's not a pleasant thing. It's like being mobbed. And you also know that you're never going to be able to get distributed evenly because, you know, you give a piece of candy or a granola bar or something to this kid and he's like shoving it in his pocket or, you know, and then coming back and wanting more. So I'm like, okay, well, I can't do that. But in the midst of these children, I happened upon one of them that seemed to be, I don't know, just a little bit more, honestly, bossy. As he stepped into the crowd, all the kids were like, hey, there he is right there. That's the guy. I was like, this kid can handle it. So I hand him the bag. And I, you know, you can't speak the language. So you're like, big bag, not for you, for all the people. You know, and I was probably using language that he's like, this old man is dumb. He can't even speak properly, you know, because I'm trying to say it and I can't speak his language. Anyway, he's like, he looks at me and he looks at the bag and he looks at the kids. He said, I got you. At that point, I knew me and this kid can communicate. I mean, me and him could probably get along and live together if we had to. That he immediately starts barking something in a language I do not understand. All those kids go and sit on a brick wall. I'm like, brother's got it. And he goes down the wall and he hands one per kid. And he comes back and he's got extra. And I kind of turned his back to the kids and turned my back to the kids and gave it to him. And I'm just giving you thumbs up. And that's all you, buddy. You took care of business. This is all you. And he was like, And so he went and found more kids to give it to. Now you say, Greg, does that mean, well, you said that kid was bossy, so that means, like, we're going to become like kids when you be bossy. That's, no. What I want to see, and I believe Jesus was trying to relay, is that in the heart of the child, it's still pure enough in a kid that's been raised well and loved well, that even if they find themselves in a desperate situation, that kind of boils to the top. It still comes there. It's still there. And there's so much that life does to us as adults that make it difficult to access that anymore. This is not meant to make anybody feel bad, okay? I'm not using this illustration to make any of you feel terrible or guilty. But it's kind of what happens on our insides. When we see somebody begging for money, and something in your adult brain goes, I have it, I could give it, but if I do, will they misuse it? You know what I mean? And you're probably right. I'm not right. So we've got reasons why we do that. We've been taken advantage of a couple of times, but do you see what I'm after here? Like, there is a point at which we no longer trust God because we've been through this enough and I know how this goes. And the wonder and the childlike faith about us is burnt up. And Jesus is saying, you got to find that again. Some of you are looking at me, y'all, Miss Lily's over here, 94 years old tomorrow. Can we give her a hand for a minute? 94. I told my wife this week, I said, honey, what if you and me live till we're 94? She said, oh, can we please go to heaven before then? And I'm not sure if that's because she didn't want to be with me or she just wanted to be with Jesus. I'm just going to say it's because she loves Jesus. But 94, congratulations. I have no idea what I'll be like at 94. Woe to the people that have to take care of me. I don't think it'll be nice. But there's something about the decades, they wear on all of us differently. Some of us may reach 94 very graciously. Some of us may not. But between here and there, if God allows it, how I end up will be determined on whether or not I can receive this kind of teaching. Am I going to be determined to be the kind of adult Greg wants to be? Or am I going to weigh into the situations that kind of I don't understand and I'm a little bit scared of? Because if I humble myself as a little child and just love people again, what are they going to do to you? They're going to hurt you. It's going to happen. Again, I'll quote Lewis because I'm reading too much C.S. Lewis right now probably. He said, if you choose to love anything in this world and you will be hurt. And then he basically went on to say, but do it anyway. Love anyway. Love a dog. Love a squirrel. That joker will be in the road flat next week. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of this cynicism about life that, well, if I do that, this is going to happen. It's going to be bad. Yes, I know. And do you see that choice to humble yourself that way is to say, Lord, I hear you calling me to love. Lord, I know how many times this has gone bad. I know how many times in my past I tried that and I have become hard to keep that from hurting me anymore. I have found a very safe place, God, that if I harden my heart, this will not hurt me anymore. And he says, oh, but son, I want you to be like this child. Now, come on. Love again. But Lord, if I love, I'm going to be hurt. He said, no, if you love, you're going to have to trust me. I can't do that. You didn't rescue me back there. You didn't fix that back there, God. Do you see that the issue becomes not the person that hurt you, but the belief that God won't be with you through the hurt? Did anybody else catch that? And so Jesus' invitation to humble ourselves as little children has said, trust me again. Trust me all over again. Like you're fresh and new. Like you're that little kid that doesn't know where he's going, but he's going to hold on to mommy or daddy's hand and go wherever they say. The invitation here is to walk with God, to trust Him completely in spite of your past knowledge, in the face of it, in spite of all of the whispers from the enemy that say, this is going to be bad. You know it is. To trust Him anyway. Some of you have got a few times around the sun know how hard that can be. You know that'll be difficult. Jesus says in verse 5, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. I love this one because if we look at this verse, whoever humbles himself, we say, okay, well, I'm doing that. And then he says, note this, there are lots of others in the kingdom attempting to be like little children. They need your help too. In other words, if you think you've got this one all wrapped up and you're good with it, then love on the other people who are attempting. Because what you learned by walking this out will be needed for them. I'm a little self testimony. What I usually discover is that I thought I had a handle on this until I try to help somebody else, and then I realize how much I didn't have a handle on this. Does that make sense? And so the Lord is using these situational things in our life, even if they're hard, to say, thank me for that, trust me with that, and let's keep walking in the kingdom. Just trust me with it. Well, Lord, if I do that with that person, it's going to go bad. Just listen, you can't do anything with them right now? Okay, that's fine. Walk with me. Every time that thought comes up of that person that hurts you, that person you don't like, just give that to me. Just tell me about that, Greg. Okay? And so we're going to walk this way and I don't have to deal with them anymore. For right now, child, just trust me. Next verse. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, you have probably heard this verse used in reference to pedophiles, yes? I'm not saying that's a bad use of the verse, okay? I guess the Lord's going to work that out. I definitely don't want to be the guy choosing who gets millstones and who gets a raft. I'm bad at those decisions, okay? I know I'm bad at those decisions. But this verse, in the midst of everything else we've already been talking about, could mean a lot more. Amen? Okay, so he might not just be talking about people that abuse children. And they do need some definite correction. If you're abusing children, you need correction. You need to quit that, and you need to be changed before somebody beats the snot out of you like me. Okay? Don't hurt little kids. That's not okay. But this is talking about people who have begun to try to walk in the kingdom and have found themselves feeling like little children again. They're open. They're vulnerable. They're doing their best. And they're stumbling. Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me, who believe in me to sin. Now the idea here of sin is that I'm walking away from not listening to God anymore. In the whole lesson, who's been doing that? The children or the adults? The adults. The children are actually trying to step this out. The adults have figured out how life works. Thank you, we don't need help anymore. He said, just because you think you know how life works, be careful how you handle these little ones. They're still learning. Be careful. They might not need to carry the guilt and the shame and the burdens that you carry. It might not be for them. Were you told some awful things as a child? Mistreated, abused? Don't pass that off to the next generation. take that before the throne of Almighty God and ask Him to please heal you, cleanse you of that so that it doesn't pass on. We want help with this, Lord. How humbling is that? Here I lived a good portion of my adult life thinking that it was my right to hold grudges against the people that hurt me early in life. They hurt me. They should have known better. I can be mad at them all I want to. And then I began to see that holding on to that hurt was passing it on to other people. Well, that's no good. I had to let go of some of that junk. It'd be better for him. Who in all of creation thinks it'd be better to have a concrete stone hung around your neck and dropped in the ocean? At what point in any type of human civilization does that sound like a good idea? Nobody's saying that. By the way, millstone isn't just a hunk of concrete. This is a huge, heavy thing that they would use to roll around in a circle to grind up wheat or barley or, you know, any material that needed to be crushed before it could be used. I mean, you can't even lift these things, y'all. It's not like they put something kind of heavy you might be able to tread water with. No. Like, you can't even stand up with it on land. You're like, yeah, you're done. And Jesus said that'd be a good idea. Are you death would be over quick? Is that? You wouldn't live with eternity with the idea of what you did to everybody else? I wouldn't wake up in the middle of the night in cold sweat, remembering the things that I'd done to other people. Or how about I wouldn't wake up in hell over and over and over and over again, remembering all of the ways that I said no to the Most High when He was inviting me to walk with Him. And rather than say yes to Him, I blamed all those others who were making an attempt at living with Him. I blamed them with my pain. Y'all, I have one nightmare and I'm shook for a week. I can't imagine every waking moment. Did we need perspective on, well, you know, Greg, I got a lot of things that are working for me. I'm just going to keep doing them. Jesus says, no, you don't. No, you don't. God love you. No, you don't. The way that you are hurting yourself and hurting other people around you can change and it needs to change. By the way, that's why I keep going to these men's events and that's why I keep inviting people to them. If I've invited you to a men's event, it's not because I think you're a terrible person and you need fixing. It's because I am constantly praying, Lord, who is it? Who is it that you want me to invite? Who is it that you want me to talk to? I don't run willy-nilly through the crowd and push everybody and pressure everybody. As a matter of fact, you hardly ever hear me do that. But I am constantly praying, Lord, who's ready for this? Who needs to hear it? Because I have greatly benefited from the process of, Lord, change me. And I believe that other guys can, ladies can too. One of these little ones, y'all, these are not just children. Children are the example. Children are the object lesson in this teaching. But we all of us become like little children trying to do that which is good and right and pleasing to the Lord. And sometimes not doing such a great job of it. And Jesus says, handle those hearts carefully. They need help. Woe to the world because of offenses, verse 7. It's not on the screen, so just listen. For offenses must come. People are going to get offended. It's going to happen. But woe to the man by whom the offense comes. You know trouble's coming in life, but let's not be the one inflicting those pains. How do we handle ourselves? Well, verse 8 and 9 comes from the beginning of the chapter or the book of Matthew, and then again here at the end. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off, cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast in the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two to be cast into hellfire. Okay, now, we don't have any evidence that the disciples of Jesus all walked around with one foot and one eye. All right, there is no historical evidence of that fact. So we can assume from that maybe that's not exactly what Jesus was wanting them to do. All right, there is not a rage in the early church, you know, a particular, you know, popular thing to do that, you know, you ain't real church member unless you only got one eye. You know, that them's real church members right there. You know, I thought you were serious about being at Goodwill. If you still got 2 feet, you ain't serious about being a Goodwill Baptist church member, right? So we need to cut one of them boogers off. After a while, you think that the people would just cut a foot off so they could look like they were doing what was right. That it would become in vogue to have a glass eye so you could prove your righteousness. Does missing a foot guarantee anybody's righteous? Or having a glass eye make people holy? I don't think Jesus is necessarily telling everybody to go cut things off. I think Jesus is encouraging us to say there might need to be something drastic happen in your heart. And it's probably time for that. It's time for that. You say, well, the rest of the world's not operating that way. Yeah, we know. That's why we're here talking about this. Well, my other church members don't do that. Yep, we know. We're not here talking about them. That's why I've told y'all, be careful with the elbowing. I see it when it happens out there. Okay, be careful with the elbowing. Because if you're feeling it strong enough to elbow somebody else, it might be for you. And Jesus might be wanting to change you so that His light can shine in that relationship so that the other can see what He's doing in you. But it's so much easier to elbow. Amen? Oh, me? I get it. I understand. Man, I judge people all the time. Like, if these people would straighten up, I wouldn't have a job. You know? I mean, that'd be good. If He's speaking to your heart, He's after you. And that's a good thing. Because He loves you. And if He's challenging you on something, that's because He wants to invite you into something more. Nobody corrects a young man swinging a hammer who just started out on the construction crew because they want him to feel bad about bending nails. They correct him because a young man don't know how to drive a nail yet. Let's teach him. We need to build houses, so we got to teach a young man how to drive a nail. Son, if you hold the hammer that way, it's not going to work. I'm pretty sure it don't work backwards. And some of us swinging a hammer backwards and wondering ourselves why life isn't working and don't want God to teach us anything different. You're real good at pulling things apart, but you're not real good at putting things together. Might be because you're using the wrong side of the hammer. But until we say, Lord, teach me, show me, then we're just going to keep doing the same thing. Don't know any better. Let's go to that last verse for the sake of time and all the loving people of God. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Okay, now the obvious thing here is not to despise little children. All right, they are growing, they are learning. Yes, they are failing. Failing and learning, they go together, right? That's what it is. Yes, great application. But I return to the idea, in this passage, is he only talking about kids? No. He's talking about people who are attempting to walk with God. What do those people look like? They all white. They all black. Brown. Olive. Maybe they're beachgoers. They all have tans. I'm looking at Sandy because Sandy knows that, you know, I grew up in Florida. We like having a tan, like knowing that we went to the beach. Is that, I mean, those are the people, right? How do you, well, they're churchgoers. Well, they're not churchgoers. Well, they drive Fords, they drive Chevys, you know, whatever. What had the little ones been up to in the passage up to now? They've been saying, Lord, the kingdom I built for myself ain't working. And I humble myself, Lord, to walk with you into a kingdom I know nothing about. And the only thing I know how to do to get to that kingdom, I do have skills. I got one thing I know how to do. That's hold the hand of Jesus tighter than anybody else's. That's what children do, right? They hold on to their parent tighter than anybody else because they don't have anywhere to go. I mean, y'all, they could fall down and bust something. And it make no sense to be held and hugged. But if a little kid falls down and busts something, what do they want? They want to be held and hugged. I said, baby, I'm sorry, but I got to get you on the operating table to work on you. I just want you to hold me. Y'all, that's a great place to be in your relationship with Most High God. Lord, I don't know how anything else to do but just pick my Bible up and read it every day. I don't understand everything in it, Lord, but that's all I know how to do. Lord, all I know how to do is pray through this moment and ask for help. Lord, all I know how to do is just to keep stepping in what I think I know is right until you show me different. That's beautiful. Take that step. Move in that direction. And remember this. There's a bunch of other people trying to do the same thing. Don't despise them for that. You say, yeah, but they're hurting other people. Yeah, they are. And they're going through a hard lesson right now learning that that's not the way to live. You say, but they steal from folks. Yeah, they do. And they're going through a hard time in life right now learning that stealing is not the way to operate. But they're sleeping around. Yeah, they are. And they're going through a hard learning circle right now. The Most High God loves them and created them for better than that, but they haven't learned that there's anything better than just the next bed to hop into. But they're doing drugs. Yeah, they are. And they can't say no to it. Do not despise one of them. By the way, let me just tell you, this passage for the last 2 weeks, Jackie, 2 or 3 weeks, has been eating my lunch. I mean, meeting me at the front door of the schoolhouse and taking my milk every day. I ain't got any milk money left. Every time I read this passage, the Lord takes pick something else out. You don't need that anymore, son. Let me take that. You don't need that. Let me take that. He's not a bully, but it sure feels like that some days. To open the Bible up and read it again and just bam, bam, bam. So put your seatbelt on because we're coming back next week. And I got something to share I ain't even real sure of just yet, but I'm going to try my best. Because here's what I think. I think God is inviting every one of us into His kingdom in a way we've not lived yet. Every one of us. And whether you go on a men's event for a weekend or you don't, that's fine. I'm not even worried about it. I just want people to hear the truth and listen to the Lord and walk with Him. And if you want to do that shooting, skeet, and catching fish, amen. If you don't, I'm okay with that. I'm not even worried about it anymore. I'm a lot more worried about this. That I would go through life despising other people who are not doing anything else but trying to listen to God. I just don't want to be that guy. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. That's me. I know it's me. I know it's me because I can see other people struggling in their sin and their decision making and the stuff that they're doing, and despising them often comes to my heart and my mind. I get mad about it. Get mad about people trying to do right? That's like making fun of fat people at the gym. Mike, you and I talked about that a couple weeks ago. Why are you going to make fun of somebody's fats going to the gym? Look at that fat fella. Boy, he can't even get on that treadmill, but he's on it. He's trying. Why would we despise something like that? Praise the Lord to putting forth the effort. If I just stepped on some toes about people ain't been on the treadmill this week, that was not for you. I was just using an illustration. It's Mike Garner's fault, it's not mine. That God would invite His children to walk with Him and we would look on them and judge them for it. It just makes no sense, does it? They're trying. I'm trying. We'll help them as best we can. You can't help everyone. You can't save every fish. Some fish just need to learn a different way. You can't save everyone, but you can be gracious to them. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, your time here. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to look into it. And thank you, Lord, for the passage in Scripture that that doesn't just challenge us in how we treat people, but shows us how you love us. Lord, you love us so much to give us all these chances and be patient with us and be kind to us and be gracious as we walk through our learning curves and all the stuff we get wrong. Lord, you just keep working on us. Thank you for that. And Lord, please help us, Lord, to take in of all of that love that you've given to us so that we would have hearts that are full and ready to share with others. Because there's a lot of us here and a lot of humanity out in this world, all of it, that is in desperate need. Lord, while I'm praying, I think of those times where we always also come across people that they can't hear it yet. They're just not there yet. Lord, we try to help them. We try to offer them grace or help or encouragement, and they just can't step yet. They're not there. Lord, help us to not hate them or be angry with them, but to see it for what it is and let them go on and learn from you for a little while. And trust, Lord, that if you want to bring us back around in their life to help, that that's where you'll bring us. And until you do, we need to leave them in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.